Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to the Embrace the Emerging Youth Telesummit. My name is Jerry McGuinn, the host for this event, and I'd like to welcome our guest speaker tonight, Kristen Panik. Tonight we're going to be talking about taming the tigers, fear and doubt, transforming them into joy. And a little bit about Kristen. After 20 years of management positions in corporate America, all while raising two children, Kristen has spent 12 years realizing her passion of helping people to live their lives with open hearts. She knows the challenges that can arise in trying to maintain fulfilling relationships while striving to stay in integrity and create balance in life. She works with clients to tap into their authenticity and create more powerful connections with their higher selves, partners, and others to address difficult issues directly and compassionately. She takes clients through deep processes to release old patterns through the use of guided imagery, energy work, and other experiential tools. She empowers people by teaching them how to do this work on their own and how to integrate these tools into their busy lives. She offers private sessions via telephone and in person from her base in Downers Grove, Illinois. Kristen is a guide with Shamatrix, a collective of women who sponsor transformational events for women and men. She is also a trainer in the Oneness Movement and initiates people to give Diksha, a transfer of divine energy for awakening. She is an avatar master licensed to deliver training in a series of tools for managing consciousness and creating preferred realities. She is also a sixth sensory practitioner licensed by Sonia Choquette and a facilitator for the work of Byron Katie. Kristen is also a meditation guide, a certified yoga instructor, master herbalist, and Reiki master, and enjoys helping people learn to build more physical stamina and optimize their own health. Kristen has worked with people individually and in groups for many years. So, Kristen, thank you so much for joining us on this this telesummit. And did you also want to tell people where you just returned from?
Yes, I just returned from India. I was there for 3 weeks at the Oneness University doing some work on healing relationships and working on creating a stronger bond with my divine. And yes, it was very, very powerful.
I'm happy
to be back. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, so what can you share with us about fear and doubt?
Yes, well, fear is a very natural state of the mind. So it's always there and has been all along. You know, in ancient times, man was in fear of survival, you know, finding food, finding a place to live. And now we're in fear of losing a job or being rejected by loved ones. So whatever it is, it comes in many different forms. We cannot eliminate it. Fear is with us. And right now, as we're entering the year 2012, this is a year where we're evolving and consciousness is shifting. And so we're being restructured basically at our DNA level, and society is being restructured. It's a very intense time for people. And so what comes with that is fear and uncertainty, because as we evolve in consciousness, anything out of alignment with it becomes much more visible to us. So people that I talk to, people I work with, are all facing much more intensity in their relationships, in their work, in their busy lives. And so fear seems to be escalating. And how do we cope with it? And before I go into that, I just want to say it's not only the spiritual groups that I talk to that say they're seeing this restructuring and this evolving happening in 2012, but there's scientists that I talk to are seeing evidence of it. So in the face of all this change that's happening around us, when fear arises, our first way of coping with it is to run, to escape. And, you know, we do that in our own various ways by watching TV, distracting ourselves, being really busy, you know, reaching for a drink, anything to numb ourselves so that we don't have to fear it. And you can only run so long before you just get tired, physically and energetically. But running is a natural response. I know I became very good at it. Fear was a primary motivator for me. You know, and growing up in school, my fear was, oh, they'd find out I'm not as smart as I think I am. You know, they'll find out I'm a fraud. Or later on when I was working, you know, fear that I would fail in my project and put my job in jeopardy, or fear of being rejected by my loved ones. So I became a master escape artist, you know, finding ways to hide from it, to push it down. And I finally learned to confront it. But initially, when confronting it, I tried to do that from a place of, instead of being a victim to it, I would try to be, you know, have power over it. So I would fight it. I would fight the fear. And either way, whether a victim or an aggressor, when you put energy in that way, you make the fear bigger. So that didn't particularly work well. So it finally took getting too tired and worn out to do nothing else but surrender to it. And I do want to say that, of course, if we're physically threatened, running is exactly the right strategy. So what I'm really talking about here, of course, is psychological fear. So when I was in India, they had a good example that I would love to share here. You know, suppose you are a painter and you're painting this picture of this beautiful tiger. And so you paint the picture on a big piece of paper. You finish it, you put down your paintbrush, and you look at the picture, and you run screaming from the room. Now, somebody observing this would look at that and go, you're insane, you know, running from a piece of paper. But that's exactly what we do with our mind. Our mind creates these stories about what may or may not happen in the future, and we run screaming from it. So it's the fear is just the imagination. So if running is not a useful strategy, then confronting it, how do we confront it? What do we do? Well, it runs a bit counterintuitive, but it is a matter of facing the fear, standing your ground, but from a place of relaxation, not from a place of fighting it. And it is a willingness to be consumed by it. So to stand there and let the tiger eat you, let it consume you. I had an experience of this, a very vivid one, a few years ago. I was afraid of flying, and I used to enjoy flying, but once I had children, whenever I would get on an airplane, I would be scared for years and years. And, you know, I would try everything I could. I'd read a book. I would talk to somebody, anything to distract myself. And then when we would hit bumpy air, I would be, you know, terrified, and I'd be holding on to my seat, you know, to the arms of my seat, clutching it for dear life. So finally, I decided to face it. So I remember it vividly. I was on the airplane, we hit bumpy air, and I felt the fear, and I went right into it. I didn't have any resistance to it. I just let the fear run through my entire system. And the most interesting thing happened as I relaxed into it, totally enveloped by it. All of a sudden, the fear turned into butterflies in my chest. And these butterflies flew up and out, and I just felt joy. It totally transformed into joy. And I was so shocked. I was just amazed. And ever since then, I've not been scared on flying, because my body's getting trained. It knows not to resist it. There are other areas in my life where I'm still working with it, but that one was totally fixed. So, what I'd like to do is to take us through an example of this so you can get a feeling for how that would work. So wherever you are, just close your eyes. Just create a sacred space around you, wherever you are, and take a deep breath in, and on the out breath, just let go of any expectations, and just slow your breathing down for a moment here, taking some deep inhales and long exhales. And bring your attention to your heart center. Breathe into that area, letting the muscles around the heart relax and open. And then here, connect in with your higher self, with your divine nature, with your divine guidance, and ask for support in feeling and moving through the fear. And now invite the energy of fear in. You can bring to mind a recent situation that generates fear in you. And if you can't think of a specific experience, just imagine yourself in a scary situation, alone in the woods at night, with wolves howling, whatever evokes that energy of fear in you. Now bring that situation fully into your sensory awareness. So put yourself squarely in that situation so you can fully feel the fear. Now without changing anything, observe what's happening in your physical body. Notice your breath. Is it shallow? Fear has been described as excitement without the breath, so you're likely experiencing a shallow breathing. And notice the quality of the energy of fear. For me, it moves like an electricity across the skin and has a coolness to it. So how does it feel in your system? Sometimes just by bringing your attention to it, the fear begins to subside. So if that's happening, you can pick another situation for us to continue here, or just bring back the full energy of fear in this situation. So what this fear, this energy, this is what you've been running from. Why it's still here. So take a moment now to stop the resistance, face it, and let the fear consume you. So welcome it and relax into it totally. Your body has the intelligence to process it, and it can do that if you relax. So slow down your breathing and keep your attention on the sensation and drop the story that your mind has about it. Your mind keeps the fear in place with the story, so bring all of your attention into the physical sensation. And stay with it. It may intensify before it shifts. Keep relaxing into it. Notice any place of resistance and let go. Notice if you try to escape. Maybe you reach for a drink of water. Maybe your mind is bringing up a pleasant memory. That happens. Ask your higher self for support and bring your attention back to the physical sensation wherever you feel the fear. And breathe. You may get memories surfacing. You may get insights. So see those, be aware of them, but let them float by. And we'll give it a few more moments here. If the fear has already shifted into peace or joy or just subsided, then you can play with another situation. But otherwise, stay with the sensation for a couple more moments here. And then if it's still present, if the fear is still present, just ask your higher self to continue to work on it in the background while we continue here. So this is the practice of being fully present, really, with whatever is happening inside. Letting go of the story around it and letting your body use its own intelligence to process it through. And you'll get so that when you feel that energy coming, the energy of fear, we're so trained to resist it the moment we feel it. What'll happen is you'll start to allow it in from the beginning. And when you do that, for me, what it does is it comes like a wave that crests and then leaves. So it moves through and out fairly quickly. So welcome it and see what happens next time. So that's fear. Now, doubt is also a universal human experience. And it's a part of the path that we take from doubt to belief to faith in something, whether it's faith in ourselves, faith in a higher power, faith in work, the work that we're doing, whatever it is that we're talking about, you start in a place of doubt, and then you move into belief. And if it's belief in yourself, you go back and forth. For example, you might, you know, I believe that I'm strong and capable, but now and then doubts will come in to test it. And you go back and forth between belief and doubt until you reach a place where you're in faith, which is unshakable. So this doubt has, you know, it's natural, and it may be there to show you that you need to brush up on some kind of skill. So if you are writing a book and you have doubt that you have the skills you need to, you know, use good grammar, then you would go out and take a class in that. But then when the doubt would come up, what we need to do is to reconnect with our purpose, our inspiration. And just know that the mind is always going to keep you in doubt. So, for example, if you successfully reach a goal, maybe you finish writing a book and it's ready for publication, you've reached your goal. What the mind does is it constantly shifts to a new goal. So you don't even have time to celebrate the fact that you've just accomplished something. You might have a moment of excitement, feeling proud of yourself, and then the mind creeps in and it goes, well, I should have written a longer book, or it's not popular enough, there aren't enough people buying it, or I really need two books to be an author, or three books. So your mind is going to constantly move the goal, so you can't ever feel like you've successfully accomplished something. That's simply what it does. The mind is a measurement tool. And any time you get into comparison or judgment, you're always going to come up short, because there's always somebody or something bigger and better. So just know the mind is doing its job and not to pay attention to it. So what you do is you breathe and reconnect with your inspiration, with why you're doing this. You know, I want to be a writer. I'm very passionate about that. Then you reconnect with that. The first thing you do is breathe when those thoughts come in. Reconnect with what inspires you and forge ahead. And then be willing to make mistakes. That's part of the learning process, and it doesn't mean we're a failure. You know, children know this. They fall down many times and get right back up. But for some reason, we think as adults, we shouldn't fall down anymore. But the thing is, children are great learners because they're willing to do that. So we actually need to learn lessons from them. So let's take a look at this, and I'll do a short exercise with you around what happens for you when you've achieved something, and how the mind takes it away, and how we can reprogram you to not let that happen. So we'll just do a short exercise here to give you a flavor for how this works and how you can shift it. So again, take a moment here to close your eyes. And take a couple of deep cleansing breaths. And now bring to mind a recent success that you've had. It could be as simple as cooking a beautiful meal, finishing a report on time. For this purposes, it doesn't matter how big or how small the accomplishment is, because the mechanism is the same. So just find a success that you've had that we can work with here. Now, go back to the point in time where you completed that accomplishment. So at the moment that you were successful, how did you feel? Did you feel pleased about yourself? Did you appreciate it? So bring back the energy of that moment when you successfully accomplished something. Now just observe what happens next. So maybe you cooked a beautiful meal and it smells wonderful and you're very pleased with yourself. The mind enters in. Oh, chicken's a little overcooked. Should have used a little more spice. how does your mind sabotage it? The mind wants to find faults. That's just simply what it does. So if we let those thoughts move through like high clouds against a blue sky, so it's not that we're going to do any kind of practice that will ever stop these thoughts. These thoughts are just going to come. So it's not about stopping them, but it's about just letting them drift past and not attaching, just letting them be really high clouds in the sky, and you're planted firmly on the ground. You can see them, but they're far away, and you don't put any importance on them. So here, thank the mind for sharing, and bring yourself, use your breath, bring yourself back to the feeling that you had when you first completed this accomplishment before the mind kicked in. So bring yourself back there. And let the appreciation, let the joy of it spread throughout your body on the breath. Now bring your attention to your heart center and stay in that energy of appreciation. If thoughts come, let them, don't attach, just let them float by. Now let's see if we can increase the amount of appreciation here. So, recall a time where you've seen a child complete something. Maybe you remember a time where a child took their first step, when they started speaking, or you just observed a child throwing a ball. You wouldn't say to them, "Great job on walking, but you're a little crooked there," or "Great job that you can speak, but it's not really clear," right? You celebrate the child's first steps, their first speaking, their first time they throw a ball. You celebrate fully with them. You're excited. And they're excited. They're truly delighted. So visualize yourself as that child who has just accomplished something. Let that joy that a child experiences, let that joy fill your inner being. Let yourself smile, let yourself laugh if laughter comes in, and appreciate your accomplishment as a child would. And stay with that energy for a couple moments here. Bring it in on the breath and let it build. See if you can fill with more appreciation, more joy. honor in yourself what it took to get to the point where you could have this accomplishment. And now reflect on who supported you in your success. Even if it's a small project, we're all connected. We never do anything alone. So if you cooked a great meal, maybe your mother helped you growing up to learn to cook. Or maybe your husband did the grocery shopping. So who supported you in this success? Sometimes others contribute in seemingly small ways, which may be more effective than you know. So honor that. And from this place of overflowing appreciation and gratitude for your accomplishments, send gratitude to those people who supported you. So bring the image of that person before you. And overflow with gratitude to them. Notice how it feels to give gratitude from this place of appreciation and fullness. Give gratitude to your higher self, to your divine guidance, so that the miracles can continue to flow in. So this is the cycle, learning to receive appreciation, learning to receive fully from yourself or from others, letting that fill you, and from that place of overflow, you can give back to the other. So it becomes a natural cycle. When we receive fully, we honor the person who has given us the gifts. So next time you are receiving, if the mind kicks in and says, I don't deserve this, again, don't attach to that story. Just know the mind is doing its thing. Come back to your heart center, breathe, and receive. And then from that place, honor the person who gave the gift to you. Give gratitude to them. Gratitude not only for whatever gift they've given to you, but for all the effort it took for them to give that to you. So this is the cycle. In order to give freely, we need to be able to receive well. And receiving fully is a gift back to the other person. So that is fear and doubt. And so, Jerry, did you have some questions?
No, that was beautiful. I was thinking as we were doing this, there's a lot right now with the economy and people struggling financially and things with their homes. How should I say this? How would you suggest people do these examples in this situation of finance difficulty and, you know, people with their homes. There's a lot going on with homes and work and financial.
Yeah, it is a very challenging time financially. And, you know, the concepts work the same. So the struggle comes from our thoughts about it. You know, right now we might be struggling and be in trouble with our homes, but right now, in this moment, I have a roof over my head and I'm warm and there's, you know, in this moment, I'm fine. So if I can go inside, face the fear that's there of losing my home, or the fear that's there of not being able to pay the bills. So internally, if I can just allow myself to feel that fully, ask for help from my higher self, stay with it until it shifts, relax into it. And then when I come out of that, I have more clarity about, you know, there's certain actions that need to be taken in the external world to solve those problems. And you can't have clarity about what's effective to do when you're coming from a place of scarcity and fear. So dealing internally with the fear first, and then from that place of calmness and more peacefulness, looking at what it is, what steps do I need to take? You call on your higher self for guidance. Who do I need to call? Who can help me here? What, you know, is there anything I can do? In some cases, there may not be. I don't know. But you'll be able to figure out what steps are appropriate and move forward. The problem with staying in the fear is it's paralyzing. So I'm frozen, I can't do anything, and I can't think. I'm constricted, all my blood vessels are constricted. I can't think of even the things that I know to do. So by going inside and taking care of what the mind is telling, the stories the mind is telling about it, getting some relief from that will put you in a place of being able to take appropriate action.
Okay, thank you so much. Well, these exercises are wonderful, very calming. Working with the fear alone, it actually did move through some of those items for me quickly, and I was able to work on something else. So that was great. Let's see
great.
Here. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just energy, so, you know, it's just, so letting it move, you know, energy, emotion is energy in motion, and so what happens is we stop the motion with our resistance, and then it can't move through and out, and once we do that, it gets stuck actually in our system. You know, if we have an experience that we're resisting, whether it's fear or anger or anything else, if we're in resistance to it, it gets stuck in our system and it has the emotion attached to it, so it becomes a charge and it's literally in the physical body. So then what happens is you develop charges and then somebody else comes along, the same situation comes along and triggers that charge and puts you immediately into reaction mode. And you generate that same fear or anger again. And then another situation comes along and again hits that charge and you generate that same fear again. And the cycle keeps repeating until you sit with it and experience it fully. And then it can be released.
Okay.
So what we're doing here is releasing charges that are held in the body, and then you get to the point where in the moment you can feel it without resistance, and then you won't have to store it as a charge to be experienced later.
Okay. Well, that sounds perfect. And I can actually think of, as you say that, how it seemed like one thing would happen after another thing after another, and wonder why that was happening. And it was almost like that phrase, like brings like. It was just
right. Well,
more and more.
Well, the interesting thing with this, which I really saw very clearly recently, I've known this intellectually, but now I've really experienced it, that charge that's sitting there actually sends out a signal. And, you know, we're all of us are a set of personalities that rise and fall. You know, I might have my disapproving identity or personality, and I might have my loving personality or my mother or my inner child. You know, I have all these personalities. Now, I have a charge sitting here, and maybe it's a charge from when my mother scolded me when I was young, let's say. And then what happens is that charge sends out a signal, and it can send a signal to my husband to cause that personality of disapproving authority figure to arise in him and cause him to yell at me. And then I turn around and blame him. But it really came from me. So we really are creating our reality with these charges. So if I hadn't been sending the signal out through this charge, that personality wouldn't have arisen in him, and he wouldn't have reacted to me that way. So we, you know, we're so quick to blame the other person for hurting us, when oftentimes it's us creating the situation unconsciously. We don't know it. You know, we're not aware that we're doing that. So that's why in any situation, it's really good to first work on yourself. If any time you're triggered, take a look at yourself, what's being triggered in you, work through that charge, and then you'll find your external world changing. You find that your relationship with the other will change. It's quite amazing, actually, the way it works.
Yeah, very much so. Okay, well, we've got a couple minutes left. Would you be available by any chance to take a call or two or a question or two?
Sure.
Okay. All right, if you would like to ask a question, for those on the web, you can enter in a question. For those on the line, if you press star 2 to raise your hand, and we can address your questions. So let me just check here very quickly to see if we have any questions. Okay, we do have a question here. If you raise your hand, can you say hello? Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Do you have a question?
Yes. My question is, would you deal with anger in the same manner?
Yes. I had the most interesting experience with anger recently, where this worked really well. I was in my car on the freeway, and I was on an off-ramp going from one tollway to the other, and a guy passed me on the on-ramp, so it was really dangerous. He cut me off. He passed me. I got so angry, but I caught it right at the beginning. I relaxed into the anger. I let it come up, and I had this most amazing experience. The anger rushed through the system, and then it turned into joy. It turned into joy, and I could just thank the other driver. It was just the most amazing experience. So, you know, without any resistance, if you let the anger flow through, moves really quickly. Or you could do the exercise we just did, which is sit, bring to mind a situation that made you angry, re-experience it, let yourself fully feel it, and sit with it until it dissipates and becomes peace. It's a really good practice to do. You can do this in the evening before you go to bed, where you can first feel gratitude for all the good moments of the day, because we often run past those moments in a hurry and don't have time to appreciate them. So you could just sit with those and appreciate them, and then bring to mind any place where you were hurt that day, where somebody hurt you, and sit with that. Connect with your higher self and ask for help. Connect with your divine. And then experience that hurt all the way through. And if it's anger, it doesn't matter what emotion it is, experience it all the way through. And then you'll find at the end of it, you can forgive the other person. Forgiveness will come naturally, though. Forgiveness is the natural result of feeling the hurt all the way through. But what you can do at the end of that is bring the face of the person in front of you and give them forgiveness.
Thank
That's
you.
A really beautiful practice, yeah. And that will help keep you, that's good maintenance. It'll keep your energy clean and open.
Thank you, Kristen.
Mm-hmm.
And
thank you.
And did you have anything else?
No, thank you. That's wonderful.
Okay. Thank you so much. Okay. Do we have any other questions before we end for today? If you do, press star 2. Okay. I don't think we have any more questions here. So, Kristen, do you want to tell everyone about what you've graciously offered us for the people of the Embrace the Emerging You Telesummit?
Yes. So there is available either, you can either email me or the page will be up tomorrow, a free half-hour session or 50% off of an hour session where I do, you know, deep processing work and help you work through whatever blocks or charges you have. So I can do that in person or over the phone. And then I don't know if you want to mention the bonus gift or.
Sure. Yes, please.
And then the bonus gift is a guided meditation, a recorded meditation of, that I have for working with intentions and creating your intentions as your reality. So
thank
that's
you.
A download.
That's on the support tools page. So for those that have purchased the upgrade, we'll be able to get that. And that's a great meditation. So thank you so much, Kristen. Okay, any final words for all of us?
Oh, and I'll give you my email if the page isn't up yet and you want the offer of 50% off a session or free half hour.
Okay.
My email is kristinpanic@gmail.com. So that's kristinpanic@gmail.com.
Okay,
and just mention
you.
The telesummit. Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. So thank you again, Kristen. This has been a wonderful call. I want to thank you so much for these amazing techniques. And also want to thank everyone who's attending the event and who are also listening on the replays. I'm sending you much love, happiness, and support in your journey of embracing the emerging you. So thank you very much, everyone, and have a great night. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.